Welcome to the Decaf Show.
Hi, hello, welcome back to another cool episode of the Decaf Show with Sid Morn and Keen. In our Friday talks today, we have Siddharth Bendi. He's a singer-songwriter and acoustic pop performer seasoned with having done 600 plus shows across the country in a 3-year span. Taking inspiration from a vast spectrum of iconic influences, 22-year-old Siddharth has played at renowned venues like the Piano Man Jazz Cafe, Fandom, Season 6 of Music Mojo, The Finch, and many more. An inspiration to many young students across Hyderabad, Siddharth also runs an NGO, which is called the Beautiful World Movement, focused on raising awareness about the problems faced by underprivileged children. He's also curated a campaign through which the NGO has been raising funds for COVID relief by collaborating with various artists. He has also been a speaker at the Under 25 Summit, Hyderabad, Bangalore, 2018 and 2020 respectively, TEDx CBIT, Josh Talks and Indian Youth Conclave. Welcome to the Decaf Show.
Yes. How are you?
All good, bro. All good. Just getting back to a lot of work stuff, post-pandemic scenes. I had one post-pandemic phase when I thought the first wave was the only wave. and then we got the second wave, which was an unexpected turn of events. But good. I mean, getting back to some shows that are starting in Hyderabad now and recording music and just all of that stuff.
That's great. It's the best thing to do. And due to pandemic, we're not really able to go outside.
Yeah, man. And for me, more than just being a musician, I think I, as a person, I'm also a very outside person. Like I feed off of the energy from people around me and things around me and places and all of that stuff to create. And I miss that. And now it's good to be getting back to all of that. It's new.
That's true. So before we get into the episode, can you just explain a little about yourself?
Yeah, so I'm a musician from Hyderabad, but also want to identify as a creator beyond anything. Like I do want to explore music in a visual sense, in an artistic sense, beyond just sound. And that's been my journey over the past couple of years, besides just making music, obviously. I also run an NGO called the Beautiful World Movement in Hyderabad, which is a student-run nonprofit effort to raise funds for orphanages across Hyderabad and also awareness for causes revolving around just the social anxiety of the society generally. And we keep doing a lot of Instagram, Clubhouse recently, and even offline events to just start conversations on many things that concern us as a young society.
Amazing stuff. May I ask you, how did your music journey begin?
I told this, I actually tell this story so many times and I still find it really fascinating that this is how it happened. So my mom, very ironically, sent me to Carnatic music classes when I was like first, second class. It was a long time ago. And I really didn't want to go. Like I don't really care for classical music at that time. And I was like, oh God, why am I doing all this? But she just wanted me to have a hobby. And I went and I used to sing really well, is what everybody used to say, but I didn't care for it. Like I was like a second class kid who wanted to play like football or something else instead. So that's how it started. And even though I didn't like it, there was like a foundation set on my voice that I could use now. And I'm still in some way benefiting from. And that just sort of took me to competitions in school. I used to win them. I used to like the medals, not necessarily the music. And that went on until like the love-hate relationship went on until ninth grade. And that's when I picked up the guitar and saw Ed Sheeran on YouTube and got really, really inspired. And this was before he blew up worldwide. Like he was also new and I saw what he was doing and I really resonated with everything he was doing. And I took that up and then eventually just things panned out. And now I'm doing this full time and it's a weird journey, but I'm still figuring it out. It's good.
That's amazing. So during your ninth, you picked up a guitar. Was that intentional? I mean, you got it as you wanted, or you know?
Oh no! Again, very ironically, my parents pushed it onto me in a very weird sense. Like I'm saying ironic because my parents eventually had to deal with the fact that I'm quitting engineering and I'm doing music full time, and they didn't appreciate that a lot. But then that's the thing. That's why it's ironic, because they were the ones who actually gave that push initially. But they didn't think that it would become this much of a deal in my life, but it did. But yeah, my dad always wanted me to play the guitar, and it was just his fascination. He thought I'll pick up a guitar and play it for a couple of months, and he will he will enjoy that a little bit, and I will also enjoy that a little bit, and that's going to be it. But that's exactly what didn't happen, and I took it up and I never left it. So yeah, in ninth grade I picked up the guitar because my dad just felt like in the summer holidays I had to do something, and I just started learning some songs, and I just never stopped.
I guess you both have few qualities in common. He picked up his guitar between 8th and 9th grade as well. But the difference is he picked it by choice.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Awesome.
This guitar is beautiful. I think, if you start once, I don't think you would want to leave it.
Yeah, I think that's the thing with, I mean, I don't know about that particular statement. I mean, because like we see so many people just buying a guitar, wanting to play it, and the guitar just lies around in their houses. And there are so many sad guitars in the world just lying around in everybody's closets and not doing anything. So that happens a lot. But again, for individuals like us who've taken it and sort of made it a part of our life in a way that we can't leave it, it is really, really adding to our life in a very big way. Not just guitar, I feel like music in a whole sense, emotionally, even intellectually, just it helps us improve a lot in a lot of ways that we can't really explain, but it really does. So for that, I'm really grateful. Like, yeah, that guitar and music and everything does that to me very vividly.
Exactly, it helps. It does help a lot. And speaking about your NGO, so when did this start? Like, where?
I finished 12th. I was, by this time, I was so hellbent on making music, but I couldn't tell anybody that I want to do only that, and I don't want to do college and stuff like that. So I went on to do college anyway for 2 years before leaving it. But right after 12th, I was like, man, I want to make music. And I want to change the world. Like I was one of those guys. And I was like, how do I do that? So I started, we just started visiting orphanages. It wasn't like an NGO. It wasn't established in the beginning. I just put out statuses on Facebook when Facebook was huge. And all my friends came. And the rule was everybody who came has to give 500 rupees. And that's how we raised funds. And we did a pretty good job. We visited about 4 to 5 orphanages. It wasn't just me. Like, there were a bunch of friends who started it with me. We just donated as much as we could with our Facebook resources at the time. And we were all school kids. So what could we do, you know? And we also did one event. We called it a fundraiser, and we raised about 25,000 rupees, which was like a huge amount for us back then. And we gave it to an orphanage. Felt really good. And the energy that surrounded the whole process of doing these visits and doing this event and donating was the only reason I am still doing it. And I wanted to take it further and make it like a whole establishment and organization that is registered now. And, you know, it's legitimized to an extent that you can call it an organization. And the reason that happened is because of the energy that the people came in and brought to the process. You know, it is as simple as donating to an orphanage, but at the same time, it is the connections we make with the kids that we work with, the connections we make with people who want to donate but don't know where to put their money, because we hear a lot about funds being misused by NGOs. And honestly, I've never come across any situation like that. But maybe it's happening somewhere and people are scared to put their money into charity because they don't know what's happening. So that's where we come in and sort of, you know, we instill trust in the society. We instill some sort of energy that is required for us to progress as a society. And that's what we're trying to do. So yeah, 2016, that's how I started. And yeah, things are going well.
It's inspiring that you wanted to start an organization to help people out there, that you wanted to start a charity at such a young age. It's not common, right? People don't do it. Is there a reason behind you to begin it? Was it just a random thought that you wanted to start an organization or a charity to help people? Or was there an idea behind it?
I mean, obviously, there was an idea. It wasn't random for sure. But it's not an idea in a sense that it's not a statement. You know, it's not like one thing that happened that led me to it. It's just my view of how things are. And I say it in present tense because I don't think in the last 5 years I have changed anything that I wanted to with my NGO, and I am wanting to, and it's getting there. But it's my perspective of how certain fundamental things are just not available to certain sections of the society, and it bothers me. And I'm not coming to it as a musician who wants to do something. I'm coming to it as a human being who's wanting to do something, you know. My musician self is entirely separated from my NGO self. It's two different personalities altogether. Because the NGO started with the sole aim of bringing the young people of this country together to make a visible difference to one or as many things as possible. And we started with underprivileged children in Hyderabad, which is like the minutest speck of dust we are touching. And we are still there. Like, we haven't really hit any sort of, I mean, we have had milestones, but we haven't hit visible change to an extent that it has impacted a lot of lives. And that's what I want to do. So it's coming from a place where I just want to change certain things for certain people because they deserve it. Like, it's very minimal. And I don't know why other people are doing it. So I'm doing it. It's like that.
Good to see someone care so much.
Yes.
Yeah. And another thing, you know, I don't think it's just me. I think so many people care, and the care has always been there, but the execution is what lacks, because we depend so much on the authorities, on the governing bodies. And we put so much faith in them. And unfortunately, I don't want to get political about this, but it doesn't seem like they've done as much as they could have, you know, which is why somebody like me or people who are running NGOs are having to take up the responsibility, or else there shouldn't be a need for these many NGOs in a country, because it's just surprising to me that there has to be so many NGOs to take care of so many things when all of those things can be taken care of by the people who are supposed to take care of it in the first place.
Yeah, I agree to that.
Yeah, that's no need of so many NGOs if, you know, a few of them are doing the right job. But yeah, it is what it is. Also, speaking about your fundraising concerts, which is, I guess, twice a year or thrice?
Yeah, we do. I mean, it's not fixed right now because of the pandemic. Everything sort of keeps changing. So whenever we can do one, we do one. But yeah, we just do not just concerts, but we do anything to raise funds. Sometimes it's open mics and open stages. Sometimes it's carnivals for children and anybody to just, you know, come and have a fun time. But for that, there's an entry fee and that goes to charity. And sometimes it's music concerts. Sometimes I play. Sometimes I get other people to play. And it's a mixture of all these things. I'm just trying to leverage my network in some way or the other as a musician to drive change as a as a philanthropist through the NGO. So there's a mixture of everything, and it's a little chaotic, but in a good way. And I really like that it's a little chaotic, because if it was perfect, then I wouldn't like it that much. I don't know.
That's amazing. Also, I really love your song. I guess one,
yes,
from the album. One, it's amazing, and newness as well. The recent release, yes, it's so good.
Thank you.
How would you describe the music you make?
That's a difficult question for a lot of people. I have recently come up with an answer for it, that I make acoustic pop and alternative music, and that's all there is. But if we want to get into the details, I will say that I am still figuring it out, but my sound is inclined towards fusing the elements of my life. So there is obviously a lot of situations with people, you know, it can be friends, it can be all sorts of relationships that I'm having with people around me. And then also my terrific love for nature, and all of the nature that I'm trying to capture and bring into my music is going to be a huge part of my music that is coming in the near future. And also my love for music in a sense that I'm always trying to use different instruments. I'm always trying to use different sounds, and I'm always trying to break the barriers of what people expect from me. Not barriers of music, because there are some really legendary people doing that right now, and I don't think I'm up there with the way they think, and I hope I'll get there. But I try to just use sounds that people don't expect me to use. And that is where I am right now. So it's all the elements of my life coming together that make my music. So that's my sound as of right now.
Yes. Are you asking? Okay.
No.
Yeah. So, this is a weird question. How many guitars do you have right now? I mean, you checked it out since 9.
Yeah, not too many. I haven't gone overboard yet, because I don't have the money. If I had the money, I'd probably go overboard by now. I do really, really want to buy a bass guitar in the near future, like very badly. So that'll be my 6th guitar. I have the first one. That's always the special one. 2017 was a big year for me in terms of gigging. I did 185 shows in just that year. And I counted, because I wanted that to fuel me. You know, I wanted the number to fuel me. So I counted every show, and I posted a lot on Facebook about how many shows I was doing and stuff. It's cringe now, but it helped back then. And I bought two of my favorite guitars with the money I made doing those shows. One is a Martin OMC. First of all, owning a Martin was like the dream of my life. And I was like, oh shit, I'm finally buying a Martin. And I bought a Martin, and I still use it. I'm probably going to play a song for you today with my Martin also.
We really like that.
Awesome. I'll do that. So I have one Martin, and then I had a little more money left. I was like, you know what? How would it be if I bought another Martin guitar? And I'd be like the coolest kid in the town. And I did exactly that. And I went ahead and I bought an Ed Sheeran signature little Martin. And I spent too much money on that unnecessarily. But I still use both the guitars. I love both the guitars. Both the guitars are on all my songs. And I have one electric guitar. And I have one Guitar Lily, which is like a ukulele-sized guitar, which is really fun. I don't really record with it, but it's really fun to play and take around and stuff. So yeah, those are my 5 guitars. I haven't gone overboard. Or some people might think that is only overboard, but I use all of them adequately, so I think I'm fine.
That's really great. And this could be a tough question, but which is your most favorite Ed Sheeran song?
I have to break it down to you. I'm sorry, I can't give one answer to that.
Maybe a couple.
Sorry?
Maybe a couple.
Yeah. So the my favorite song to perform by Ed Sheeran is mm-hmm. Bloodstream from the second album. It's one of the greatest songs in terms of just like performing, like the way he puts it together with the loop station and the way he wrote it for the loop station, all really, really fun stuff. So yeah, Bloodstream is one of my favorite songs by him. And maybe the second song is really difficult to choose. There's so many coming to my mind. But I think right now it would be Japan, this is difficult. Give Me Love, because Give Me Love is from the first album. I love mm-hmm. that song. I used to say at one point that that's my favorite song of all time and it'll never change. Unfortunately, that didn't stick because I do have other favorite songs. But Give Me Love is one of my most favorite songs ever, because not only was it the song that inspired me to pick up the guitar and do everything that I'm doing today, but also I feel like emotionally that song captures a very diverse set of feelings, and it's way too relatable. It's such a well-written song lyrically, and that's why I really love it. And his performance of the song in the album also is really, really good. So yeah, Give Me Love.
Perfect.
What other instruments do you play apart from guitar?
Not really anything. Guitar is my main thing. I do know my way around the keys, but no, I don't identify as a keyboard player because I don't really play the keyboard. But I had to learn how it functions because of music production. And music production has, the modern music production has made it so easy to play any instrument virtually that you don't really have to learn any instruments. It's so amazing and so weird at the same time. But
Yeah, amazing, but it's still weird, you know, because yeah. When I was in a band, like, it's not active right now, but the producer guy was like, we were actually planning a song, and then I was asking if you need guitar, and the producer guy was like, not really. I'm like, what? Are you going to use keys or what? And then he's like, no, I'll just play the guitar on, you know, any DAW. I'm like, bro,
yeah.
You know, he has a meaning here.
People do that these days, and mm-hmm. and like the biggest artists in the world do that, so it's become okay to do it. But I know some purists who just don't agree with it, and they're like, no, get an instrumental person. And I'm like, I mean, whatever works for the song, if it's sounding good, then just go for it, you know.
Yeah, sometimes you know, finger picking could be a problem, but chords is fine.
I actually came across some YouTube videos where people really know how to write finger picking also, like solid on the MIDI. There are some techniques and all. It's amazing, dude. People have figured out everything.
So you just have to sit and watch YouTube videos to learn any instrument now.
Anything, yeah. Which song do you want to listen to?
Well, your favorite song, Ed Sheeran's first one.
Oh, Ed Sheeran song. Oh.
Yes. Oh, you mean it's fine. No, hello. You could do the.
We also I can like do anything. To hear your original. I don't mind. Your original is fine too.
Yeah, the one I like. One.
Okay, let's do both. Let's do one original and one Ed Sheeran song.
Perfect.
I think I'll do a small part of Thinking Out Loud by Ed Sheeran. Sure. That's like the one I remember the lyrics to the most, because the others I'll struggle with lyrics and I'll have to pull them up again. When your legs don't work like they used to before, and I can't sweep you off of your feet, will your mouth still remember the system alone? Will your eyes still smile from your cheek? Darling, I will be loving you until we're 17. Mm-hmm. And baby, my heart will still fall as a at 23. And I'm thinking about how people fall in love in mysterious ways. Maybe just a touch of a hand. For me, I fall in love with you every single day. And I just wanna tell you why I'm baby now. To the light of a dark star, oh darling, place your head on my beating heart. I'm thinking out loud, maybe we found love where we are. And my hair's all gone and my memory fades, and the crowds don't remember my name. Hands don't play the strings the same way. I mean, you always still love me the same. Cause honey, your soul can never grow old, it's evergreen. And baby, your smile forever in my mind and memory.
Amazing, so soothing.
Thank you so much. It's been a while since I actually sang that song. I do this a lot in live shows, but we haven't had those in a while, so I've just been sitting on all my songs for a long time. I should just pull my guitar and sing once in a while.
Well, yes, so your next performance.
Oh yeah, I'll do one because you like one. Let's do one. You can hear the guitar and everything properly?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. The song is called One. I wrote it when a friend of mine was going through, like, not a breakup, but it's like a complicated situation that she was going through that I went in and made even more complicated. It was one whole thing. But the song itself was meant to be like a like an ode to her, like to make her feel okay. And it was really effective. And she really, like she took it really well. And eventually after the song released, it started meaning a lot to a lot of people. So I'm so grateful for this song and like what it's done. I feel it's very valuable when something I write resonates with so many people on a personal level. I feel like that's an achievement for me as a writer, which is weird to me because I still don't see myself as a solid songwriter, even though I've written so many songs and they're all just accidents. For some reason, I just don't believe that I can write, but it's doing something and it's fun looking at the effect of my thoughts. And this was one of the good examples of that. It's a song called One. I hope you like it. Thank you. Hearts are broken, hurt. Dreams are floating, hurt. Eyes are telling me she needs my shoulder to me. Her lungs so heavy in her. Lips so dry in her. Hair so messed in she needs a kiss good night. One, I said, don't you cry, oh my baby, don't you let them tears come crawling down your face. He was just another lie. Just look me in the eye and tell me that you're. So sweet angel, your life full of love and joy. You're a dream come true, just like the day I met you. From two angels to 3 p.m. dates at the cafe. There's so many memories.
Favorite song that's already on repeat.
Wow, add it to your playlist, man. It'll help a lot.
I'll do too. Very good.
Yes. It's so good.
It's funny, something I wrote in 2017 so pointlessly that it came out in 15 minutes and it didn't even mean for it to be a song. My EP was almost already done and I was like, oh, this song fits better. There was another song on it that I never released and it will never release some bad song. But I wrote this song and I was like, wow, this perfectly replaces that song and it's so much better. And so much better for me was just better than the bad song. So that was it. And then I released it and even after releasing it, nothing happened. Like, you know, it was just, I released a video for a song called Little Wonder and that did its thing. And Fire in the Rain was supposed to be like the hit. And it was received well and like all of that happened. There was no Spotify in India back then. It was just CDs. I was selling CDs, very old school. And I was selling my music online and barely like four people bought it, and it was all fun. And then I released a very simple video for one in 2018, or sometime, I don't remember, I mixed up my dates, but I put it out and everybody thought it was a new song that I released. They hadn't known that it's been out on the EP for a while. And then they were like, bro, your new song is so good. I like it a lot. Oh, this, that, this, that. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. At least you like it. I don't care if it's new or old. Just stream it and give it that attention. And they did. And it became like a thing. But yeah, I mean, it's not like it's blown up or anything, but it's just, for me personally, I've met so many people that have told me, dude, that song helped me, or that song makes me cry every time, or that song is mine and my boyfriend's go-to song to listen to. Like, those sort of words to me are really, really valuable from listeners. So even if it doesn't have like a million streams, those situations and those stories add up for it for me. And yeah, that's how I really like, that's why I really enjoy one as a song and as a project. Like, it's surprising to me that it's gotten this far as a song. And yeah, it's just really fun.
I discovered it when I found your profile on Spotify, and you know, the popular discography just shows it. Yeah. After your name is, it's one. And when I listened to it very first time, I liked the song. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad to. I think I will release like a new version of one sometime. I have a lot of plans to re-release some of my older music, but done better and my way. My way, as in just like my new way, introducing my new style and my new skill set and everything into this situation, and that should be really fun. So I'll let you know when that happens.
I'm pretty sure many people after listening to this episode will add one to their playlist.
Awesome. I really hope so too.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I guess that's it for today. Thank you
awesome,
so
dude.
Much.
Thank you. Thank you so Thanks. Much for having
Thanks.
Me.
Thank yes. you for talking it's been, to us.
No problem. I'm all for conversations. I love having just conversations, and I don't really, I mean, necessarily need to have like interviews, but I just like meeting people through conversations. And this podcast thing is like really like a nice way to do it. And I really like that I did this. Thank you for having me and considering me for this.
Yes. And I do hope you start your podcast soon too.
Yeah, man. Hopefully. I mean, so many people have asked me to do it ever since I do a lot of conversations on Instagram lives and stuff like that. And I try to keep it very valuable and stuff, and people like it. And it's been there in my mind for a while, but it's just that if I do it, I want to do it really well. And that's my problem with everything. Like I keep delaying things because I want to do them better. And that way I damage a lot of my opportunities. But I think this one will happen sometime before the end of this year. I mean, it'll at least come to life.
You should do it. You should start it.
For sure.
You'll know
for
the
sure.
difference when you do.
For sure. Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome.
Thank you
so much, guys. I'll see you soon, hopefully at a show sometime. Where are you based out of, by the way?
Tamil
Nadu. Away from Pondicherry. Yeah.
Okay. close
to Pondicherry. Yeah, very near to Pondicherry. Very close to Pondicherry.
Okay. And both of you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome. Dude, I should play in Pondicherry sometime.
That Definitely. There are so many cafes, you know, so many free places. You can just play and chill along.
Yeah, we should do like one show in Pondicherry, and like you guys should come. We should do like a live interview also. That should be really fun.
For sure.
Yeah, it will be.
Awesome. I look forward to that. Thank you so much, guys. I'll see you soon. Take
yes.
care.
Also take care.
Bye.
Bye.
So that's it for today, guys. Thank you for tuning in. We really had a lot of fun, and I hope you guys do add this song to your playlist because it's really amazing. And well, do check out playlist as well, because we are adding new amazing songs too. And if you haven't listened to any of the episodes, you could go and check out our Insta profile, and you can send messages, voice messages, you can send anything to us and we'll definitely get back to you. Yes, thank you so much. Catch you on the flip side. Have a good one.